and for no other reason than the fact that He loves you. He lifts you up and sticks you in a place that you don't deserve. You didn't earn it. You didn't do anything to warrant it. But it was out of His great love that He just reaches out and says, child, take my hand. Take my hand. You don't have to stay in that place. And I'll be completely honest with you. When that last song was playing, I couldn't close my eyes. Because every time I closed my eyes, I could see His back. I could see His side. Pastor Dave mentioned, no surprise, he mentioned the cat of nine tails this morning. And it's funny because all week that kept coming up in my time of study and just personal time with the Lord. And I even got to share it with the youth on Friday night. Like, this was not just a whip. This was not just a wooden handle with some leather hanging off of it. There was nine individual straps. I want you to get the fullness of this, okay? There was nine leather straps that were attached to that wooden handle. And at the end of each one was lead. I'm a plumber. Sometimes when you work with a cast iron pipe, you have to lead in things. So I know what it is. I know the process of taking a ball of lead and sitting it over a flame and heating it up until it's molten, until it's just like water in this dish. But the crazy thing is that when you take and you dip that lead out, as you pour it out, it cools almost instantaneously. And whatever form it takes when it's pouring out, that's what it holds. The interesting thing I'm telling you that, to tell you this, the interesting thing is, so if you take and pour that out and it comes to a point, I want you to understand that point is like a razor blade. I could pour that out in a lead ball and have just that little point on it. I could take and drag it down my finger and it will lay my finger wide open. Every single piece of leather that came off had that on the end of it. Some of them were in the forms of hooks. Some of them were straight. If you really study out a cat of nine tails, some of them were laced with glass, little chips of bone in the lead. So the lead, it's not sharp enough as it is, right? So let's add glass to it. Let's add little hunks of bone into it. Church has said it beat him so bad that you could barely recognize that he was a man. That was mine. That's what I deserved. What kind of love comes down and says, no, I'm going to take that for you so you don't have to? I really thought this was going to be this upbeat. I couldn't wait to get here. But the fullness of all of this settled in. And I felt it as soon as I walked in the door. I could feel it start to. And not a bad heavy, but just the Holy Spirit. I want you to speak on the fullness, on the weight, on the gravity of what took place on Calvary. This message tonight is for the church. He told me that very plainly in my time of study. He said, this is for my people. This is for my church. The title that he gave me is kind of funny. It's, what's it to you? What's it to you? I mean, just now as I'm standing here, I'm starting to, oh, got it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That sacrifice, what does it mean to you? What's it mean to me? In light of everything that goes on in our day-to-day lives. What does it mean to you? See, we were created from the word go. In Genesis 1:26, he said, "Let us make man in our image." We're the only thing, church, in all of creation that was made in the image and in the likeness of God Almighty. The angels were not. The angels are of a higher order than we are. They are. Yet in all that, we were the ones made in His image. Little bit of information to plug in. That's why the enemy hates us so much. He was walking before the throne of God. That's where he was. He was the highest of the angels. And the scriptures say, yet he became infatuated with his commerce. That's an interesting word, isn't it? Commerce. What do you associate with commerce? Business, right? How you do things. He became infatuated with himself and how he did things. And said to himself, "I will make myself a throne above the Most High God, above the moon, above the stars, above God Himself, the highest throne." And for that, he got cast out. Think about how insane it must have driven him to know that God took his hands, he took his own hands, and reached down in the dust of the earth, and he formed man. And then he took his breath and put it in his lungs. Dirt. We're dirt, church. We were made from dirt. And yet now, made in his likeness, made in his image, we've been given a name that is above every name. That which was the lowest has been brought up and made the highest of all his creation. Church, that's insane. That is mind-numbing. That is incredible. So he didn't just create us and stick us here, right? He didn't just say, "You know what? I'm going to make man in my image. And you guys just kind of, hey, whatever. Yeah. Have fun. Good luck. Do whatever you feel like doing." No, he gave us a job. He gave us his authority on this earth. We, in fact, are his representative on this earth. What? That's insane. All of this. You can't wrap your human thinking around it. But he gave us a job. And we know what happened in the garden, right? The enemy shows up. He does what he does. Sin enters. Now there's a gap. There's a huge gap. Because a righteous and holy God cannot tolerate, will not tolerate, will not be in the presence of sin. That's why what Christ did was so incredibly powerful. We had zero ability to bridge that gap. None. Absolutely none. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He restored that fellowship. He restored that relationship. Why? Because God was not finished with us. He wasn't. That's the purpose. The entire plan of redemption was to bring us back into fellowship with Him so that we can continue to walk out the plan that He has for us. You were not born by accident. You're not here by coincidence. That word coincidence, I can't stand that word. It makes me angry. There is no such thing as coincidence. There's not. Bad things do happen. But when something good happens, rest assured, it is only for one reason and one reason only that anything good happens, and that's God. God is the reason anything good happens. Scripture tells us that. So, in all this, these plans that he has for us, what do we do with it? How do we walk it out? Like, how are we supposed to live this life? We must abide in the Father. We have to. Don't miss it. They are his plans for our lives, right? And Jesus was the model. He came down. This man, fully God, but fully human, gave us the blueprint of how to live. He gave up all of his power and walked in humility in flesh, like we did. The power that he had was from where? It was the Holy Spirit. It was from the Father. Every single thing that he did, he tells us, he didn't do it of his own accord. He didn't come here. So if he didn't do it of his own accord, we're not going to do it of our own. We cannot. Jesus Christ could not do it on his own, because he gave up the ability to do it on his own. That's why he was even baptized. John baptized him. It came up and it says that the Spirit descended like a dove from heaven and landed on him. And an audible voice of God was heard saying, "Behold, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." Because Jesus was willing to do whatever the Father told him to do. When Jesus got a little bit older, he didn't sit down with a pen and paper and write down a 1 year, a 5 year, and a 10 year plan, put it in an envelope, send it off to get the stamp of approval from someone. He did not do that. And we hear that so often. Maybe you guys don't hear. I hear it all the time. When you follow different leadership models, different business things, they're like, "Well, what's your 1 year plan? What's your 5 year plan? What's your 10 year plan? What?" As the church, we have one question to answer. What's my Father's plan? What's his plan? What does he say? Jesus Christ himself. He said he did not come on his own. In John 12:49, he said, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak." Jesus didn't even speak on his own authority. He said, "My Father has told me what I should say and what I should speak." So if he didn't even talk on his own accord, I don't think we should. Let alone try to live the life that we think we should live. It's not my life to live. I tried living my life. Spoiler alert, it did not work. If you could draw up a plan of chaos and absolute destruction, that's what my life looked like before Christ. It was a mess. And I know some people say my life was a mess. Trust me, my life was a mess. But God. He bought us. That's the other side of everything that he did on Calvary. He bought us. It's not my life. I didn't give my life to Christ so I could be free from sin, have an eternity in heaven, and just do whatever I want to do whenever I want to do it. That's not how that plan works. We lost everything as humanity in the garden. Christ came and restored it, and in doing so, purchased me. When I said yes, I didn't just acknowledge his sacrifice to be free from hell. I acknowledged the fact that he is not just Savior, but he is in fact Lord. He tells me what to do. He tells me what to say, when to say it, where to go. It's him. And it's arrogance to think that I get to sit back as a being who my origins are the dust of the earth and look at an almighty God and say, let me explain to you what my life's going to look like. And I know we joke and we laugh about that, right? But we do it. We do it a lot more, I think, than we realize. When we get hung up in the daily ins and outs of life. Well, I've got to do this, and I've got to do that, and I just need to go over here, and I have to make sure this gets done, and I've got to take care of that. Look, we have responsibility. We absolutely have responsibilities. But I heard Pastor Dave say it this morning. Everything that we do has to come from that place that we spend with, that time that we spend with him. It's from that place. He said, if you abide in me and I will abide in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. No thing. You can do nothing. Not some stuff. Not you might be able to squeak by a little bit here and there. Not if I try really hard and I'm super spiritual, I might eat. No. Nothing. And it blessed my heart this morning to hear Pastor David. I understand people think they mean well. But focus on what God's telling you to do. Don't in arrogance sit back and criticize and point a finger at somebody else for what they're doing. You don't know what the Father said to them. You have no clue what the Father spoke to them. It would be utter arrogance for me to come to any one of you sitting here tonight and say, you know, I've been paying attention to how you interact with people. I really think you're messed up. I really don't think you should do it like that. You need to approach it like this, like I do. Those are the people that Jesus was the harshest with. It was the religious people. And that's what that is. That is a religious spirit. When you sit back and have nothing else to do but find a Facebook post and get after somebody telling them to open up your Bible and read Scripture and start attacking eggs and bunnies and all that, newsflash, it's to get people there so they can hear the good news of Jesus Christ. We don't worship rabbits. We don't worship eggs. I am well aware that that is not in that book. In the 66 books, it does not say anything about a rabbit leaving Easter eggs for kids. I know that. But thank you, O spiritual one, for enlightening me to that. But maybe, just maybe, if you focused a little bit more on what you should be doing, you wouldn't worry about what I'm doing. For anybody that's gotten upset, come to the outreach and watch how many kids get saved. And then you can run your mouth. I might get in trouble for that one. But my God, when you have a heart for people and you want them to know the goodness of God, when you realize the abuse that he took, what he endured, what he suffered, it wasn't so we can sit back and point fingers at each other. It's for us to take that good news and tell it to everybody who doesn't know. Yeah. to come alongside them and say, I see you struggling, but you know what? It's okay. Yeah. It's okay. It's not just God has a plan for you. Say the prayer. Good luck. It's not that. Yes, we want you saved, but we want you thriving, healed, walking in the plans that God has for you. Because if you're breathing right now and you don't know it yet, God has a plan for you. Now you know. He has a plan for you. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Church, time is getting shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. And we know that. That's why he's told us everything he's told us in this book. It's not to scare us. It is not to put us into fear. It's not for us to take and try to scare everybody else into submission. It's for us as the body of Christ to read it. Jesus said in Matthew 24, when you see these things, don't be afraid. These things must happen. It is the beginning of the birth pains. The birth pains of what? His return. But it's the beginning. So we have to be able to recognize what's happening and say, I better be about my Father's business. It's no longer about me. And I am preaching this, church, from a place where this is what I have realized in about the last 8 months or so. My heart is for people, but I did not realize that I took a calling that he put on my life and stuck it above everything else. Guess what you can't do? Walk in a calling when it's above everything else. It's his calling. His calling on my life. For me to walk out what he says to do, how he says to do it. And that's what it is for every single one of us. Everybody has a calling, and he will tell you exactly what he wants you to do. You will see things. You will hear things. He will drop things in your spirit. But that's when we have to, that should send up a little indicator. Hey, I need to press into my dad. Father, what do you have? You saved me. You've restored me. You've given me this calling. Far be it from me to think I know how to walk it out. Teach me. Show me. Lead me. Jesus Christ didn't even do anything of his own accord. If anybody was qualified to do it, he was the one that was qualified to do it. And he didn't. He said his Father told him what to do, what to say. Think about it when he was just a youth. Mary and Joseph lost the Savior of the world. Just a little lighthearted note as a parent. If you ever feel like, man, I've messed up, you didn't lose the Savior. And not just lose him like they were in a big crowd, they were in the market, and they were looking around and go, oh, where'd Jesus go? No, they were going for like 3 days. They were on their way home, and finally, after 3 days, somebody was like, has anybody seen Jesus? Slightly stressful. The God of all creation has entrusted me with the Savior, and I lost him. How do you explain that? God, got a little problem. Embarrassing. But where was he? He was in the synagogue. And when they came back, they were like, Jesus, where were you? And he was like, don't you know I must be about my Father's business? What are you worried about? I'm right where I'm supposed to be. A youth. Mom and dad flipping out. The youth's like, what's wrong with you? I know what I'm supposed to be doing. Has anybody ever experienced that with their kids? Amen. Where you look at your kids, you're like, what are you doing? They're like, I'm doing what God told me. You're like, oh, my bad. Sorry about that. Far be it from me, right? Jesus knew what his purpose was. He knew exactly what it was. He knew that there was a time and a place for everything. Think about that. He was born of a virgin, right? He lived his entire childhood. He gets older. He grows up. He becomes a young man. I can't imagine what it was like being fully God, but fully human, knowing, because he had the divine knowledge of understanding everything he had to do, what was expected. He knew that. He knew it. He's baptized. He comes up out of the water. The Spirit comes upon him. And then what? He's led out into the wilderness, right? 40 days. He's tempted. He's hungry. He resists the devil. The devil flees. That's why we know that scripture has to be true. Resist the devil and he will flee. Jesus did it. I read it. It's right there. He didn't come back from the wilderness and go, guys, where's the cross? It's time to wrap this puppy up. I resisted all temptation. Let's go ahead and get this whole crucifixion thing. Let's just get it done. Let's go. I've got work to do. He didn't do that. There were things that had to take place. He knew the fullness of what he had to do, but he dare not, even though he was fully qualified to do it, he dare not assume he knew exactly how to do everything. He leaned into his Father. He allowed the Holy Spirit to give him the knowledge, the strength, and the power to endure, to minister, to persevere, and to ultimately go to the cross. The Holy Spirit was upon him. Church, we live in an unprecedented age. The Holy Spirit is not on us. He's in us. We're temples. We were washed clean and made fit that the Holy Spirit might dwell in a temple not made with human hands. He's inside of us. That means everywhere my size 11 and a half foot walks, the Holy Spirit is walking with me. That means everything that I have need of is already inside of me. It's in there. I don't need to go to a priest and say 12 Hail Marys to receive what I have need of. That veil was torn in half. It's gone. I have the ability to go directly to my Father in heaven and say, Dad, you see what I'm going through. You see what's before me. Give me the wisdom to walk it out in a way that is pleasing to you. In a way that glorifies you. Because when your heart is set on the Father and your greatest joy is to do whatever it is that brings Him glory, there is nothing He won't do. There is nothing He will not supply so that you can fulfill that thing. Because your heart is for Him, not for self. Not for self. And these plans aren't something that just happened. As if all this isn't powerful enough, as if all this isn't enough to take our natural minds and just blow it. These were plans that He had before the foundation of the earth. Everything I can look around and see, before it existed, He knew me. He thought about me. The life that I would have and the plans that He created for me to walk out in Christ Jesus. How incredible is that? plans. This is what it says in 2 Timothy. I want to read this to you guys. This is from the Amplified Classic. It says, "For it is he," 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. It says, "For it is he who delivered and saved us and called us with a calling in itself holy and leading to holiness. And he did it not because of anything of merit that we have done, but because of and to further his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. It is that purpose and grace which he now has made known and has fully disclosed and made real to us through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who annulled death and made it of no effect and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Those plans were established before the foundation of the earth, before the first man and woman had been formed, before Christ went to the cross, and before we repented because we realized we needed a Savior. He's waiting. That is the glorious truth of all this. He's waiting for us, church, to say, "Yes, I want what you have. Father, I need you. I cannot do this in and of myself. I need your power. I need Christ Jesus as my Savior. Because I tried it my way and it did not work. It did not." When it says holiness there, it says that he called us with a calling in itself holy and leading to holiness. That word holiness means to a life of consecration, a vocation of holiness, a work of holiness. That's what he's called us to. He's provided it. We need only receive it. What Jesus did was established everything we have need of and gave us access to it. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing. That is why this message is for the church. We're coming up on Resurrection Sunday, on Easter, on whatever you want to call it. Okay? Because at the end of the day, honestly, and I'm not saying this to be offensive, at the end of the day, we're supposed to celebrate His resurrection every single day. Not once a year. And sometimes I feel like the church, that's where we've missed it just a smidge. Because we'll get involved in those arguments. We'll get fired up. Sometimes you'll get fired up and talk about stuff that really doesn't amount to a hill of beans. I just did it about 10 minutes ago. Every day, Jesus, when he established the Lord's Supper, he said, "Do this as often as you gather in remembrance of me." He told us everything he wanted us to do. We don't have to make it this big blown up deal. Do it. Live it. Let it be your time with him that compels you to go and do the things that he places in your heart. Doing it apart from that will lead to a whole lot of frustration. A whole lot of burnout, a whole lot of what the heck. I don't understand why I'm not seeing the things. We've talked about that before, right? Why am I not seeing it? Well, just as easy as we can take a promise, we can take a calling and put it above everything. Above our time with Him. Again, apart from Him, think about what your life looked like before you knew Him. I cannot. There's no way I can just skim over that. He died. He was beaten. He was mutilated. Beyond the point of recognition. All so we could be free from the power of sin. All of it. The wages of sin is death. That's why that scripture says he's annulled death. He's made it's a moot point. Death is nothing for the man and the woman who's found in Christ Jesus. Pastor talked about that this morning. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Why is to die gain? Because when I die, I'm going to be in the presence of Jesus. There is no more worry when I'm at that point. I've told my family, literally, and this I know, sorry, this is not super spiritual. I've told my family, when I die, have a party. Do not be sad, because I'm not going to be sad. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be in the presence of the one who gave his life for me. So get together, talk about all the goodness of God, serve everybody cheeseburgers, and have a good time. Don't mope and be down. It's a celebration for the believer when you go home to be with the Lord. Because that means the struggles of this life are no longer mine. Goodbye. I'm going home. Now that doesn't mean I'm ready. Like I don't want to die like right now. I want to walk in the plans that God has for me. I want to see what he has for my family. But he knows my days. He knows how they've been numbered. He knows all that. This little thing is flopping all over the place. It's crazy. We don't get along in this microphone. He knows my days. They've already been numbered. I don't know it. But whenever that last one is like, bing, it's done. See ya. I want to live a life that is pleasing to my God. I want everything that I do to come from the place of recognizing the sacrifice that he made for me. Because there is one thing he didn't have to do, and that was give his life for me. He didn't. He was well within his godly rights to snuff out my life when I was doing the things that I was doing that were wrong, that were wicked, that were evil, that were hurting my wife and my kids. But he didn't. He did not. While I was still in that place, everything, and I can look back now and it's like, it's incredible how you can't see it when you're going through it. When you're going through it, you cannot see it. But when you get removed from it, you look back and you're like, my God. Guys, when I was 17, I got to usher myself and change the batteries. When I was 17, right out here at 544 and 301, I should have died. I was hit. There are some folks that are here who've known me for a really long time. I'm not going to share how old we're getting, but that's okay. 43 years young. But I pulled out into the middle of the highway and a tractor trailer that was doing 75 miles an hour smoked me. T-bone. Broadside. Driver's side. Hit me. I flew out the passenger side window. And if you've ever been at that intersection, if you're on the Millington side looking across towards Crumpton, there is a little hedgerow of woods that goes right along there. That's where I landed. He hit me at the intersection, and I landed in the hedgerow. This cool little design in the side of my head when I shave my head is compliments of mile marker 110. They literally, when I was in shock trauma, had no words to explain
why I was still alive. I should have been dead on impact. I didn't know it then, but I know it now. Because I got work to do for him. See, there's no such thing as coincidence. If you're here right now, it's for good reason. And it's not for your own. It's for your Father. And I got news for you. Whatever it is that he has for you to do, do it with all your heart. Press into him. Spend time with him. Father, show me what it is you have for me to do. Because whether you believe it or not, it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. He has people that he has ordained to be around you in your life that you are to minister to. It's going to be your word to them. And you don't know it, but it's going to be your word to them that plants that seed. It might be your word to them that literally brings them to their knees. But it's going to be his power through you that does the work. Every single person, that's what we were made to do. These signs will follow those who believe. It did not say these signs will follow those who are more spiritual than the other. Or those who consider themselves holy enough. Those who believe. Look at Stephen. Possibly one of my most favorite examples in all of Scripture. The apostles could no longer keep up with the need of the widows, right? So the distributing of the food, they could not keep up with that, plus prayer, plus the time spent studying the word so that they can minister to the people. They couldn't do all of it. So they said, we need to find men who are full of faith in the Holy Ghost to minister that. Stephen was one of those people. And the scriptures say that he went about doing many mighty works among the people. He wasn't one of the apostles. He was just a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit. And he did many mighty works. I don't care if you're... I love it. It sounds silly, but it's the God's honest truth. If you show up because it's on your heart to clean, to sweep, to scrub a toilet, to wash a window, it doesn't matter what it is. If that's what God has given you in this moment to go do it with all your heart. And that's really what's going to wrap all this up. Because whatever calling he's shown you, and he will, he'll show you things. But you don't get to go right straight to that spot. Jesus didn't come out of the wilderness and go right straight to the cross. He had things he had to do. We have things we have to do. So if it's on your heart, man, I just really feel like getting to church. I want to talk to Miss Jeannie. I want to greet people. I like greeting people. Then go to Miss Jeannie and greet people. Be a part of it. It doesn't matter what it is. I could sit here and give 100 examples. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is that he's put on your heart, do it. Because that will open the door to everything else that he has for you. Because it shows your heart is humble. And you want what he wants. Amen. Just listening. I love these moments when you can just feel his hand on you. Like I could sit right down right now and lean up against this pulpit and just spend time in his presence. I love my dad. I love my heavenly Father. I love spending time with him. He's so good. Guys, I pray that tonight he ministered to your heart. I pray that you take this life that he has blessed you with, and that you pray for him to set it on fire and run with a holy boldness to do everything he's given you to do. It's going to take all of us as the church in these end times to do the things that he has for us to do. But be of good cheer, because when we do these things, when we overcome all these things, all these obstacles, we will hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Amen. Father, I thank you for this night. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the plans that you have for us. I thank you for a spirit of humility to enter into those things, that we would seek you, that we would long to abide in you, so that you would abide in us, so that we can bear much fruit. For you, God, for you and your kingdom. Every single one of us was made for such a time as this, right now. May we make it count for your glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Thank you for joining us online. Bless you. We love you. Have a good evening. If you are here and you want prayer, feel free to come forward. I would love to pray for you, no matter what it is. I would love to pray for you. Do not leave here missing an opportunity to get a touch from heaven. Amen. Before I mute that, you can stay, worship. I'll be here. Kelly's going to put some worship music on.